This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm John Ross, KD8IDJ, and this is the ARRL Audio News for Friday, August 4th, 2023. At the top of the news this week, ARRL files comments against seriously flawed shortwave rules petition. ARRL, as part of its mission to protect amateur radio, has filed comments against a proposal that would introduce high-power digital communications to the shortwave spectrum that, in many instances, is immediately adjacent to the amateur HF bands. The Shortwave Modernization Coalition, SMC, which represents certain high-frequency stock training interests, filed that petition with the Federal Communications Commission. ARRL responded on behalf of its members and the 760,000 licensees of the amateur radio service in the United States. The ARRL laboratory performed a detailed technical analysis over several months to determine if the proposed rules would affect operations on the bands allocated to radio amateurs that are intermixed with the Part 90 bands in the spectrum in question. ARRL's analysis determined that if the proposed rules are adopted, the new operations inevitably will cause significant harmful interference to many users of adjacent and nearby spectrum, including amateur radio licensees. Ed Hare, W1RFI, a 37-year-old veteran of the ARRL lab and internationally recognized expert on radio frequency interference, was the principal investigator on that study. He concluded that the petition should not be granted. This petition seeks to put 50 kilohertz wide 20,000-watt signals immediately next to 7 different amateur bands with weaker protections against interference than required in other services, said Hare. In its formal opposition, ARRL stated that destructive interference would result if operations commenced using anything close to the proposed maximum levels. That proposal has been assigned FCC docket number RM11953, and while the period for commenting on the petition has now closed, replies to comments in the record may now be submitted. Hundreds of licensed radio amateurs filed comments in the docket expressing overwhelming opposition to the proposal. Those interested may read ARRL's full comments and the results of the technical analysis, which are included in the filing. ARRL will continue to advocate for its members and the amateur radio service in this proceeding, and you can read more on this story and ARRL's lab's technical analysis at ARRL.org. Amateur radio operators are being asked to help with a HARP experiment. The High Frequency Active Oral Research Program, known as HARP, will host more than 50 researchers at their Alaska facility from August 1st through the 14th, 2023, for the resumption of a science summer school that will conduct 30 experiments over a span of 2 weeks. The Polar Aeronomy Radio Service, PARS, summer school was last held more than 10 years ago. Its return is part of a 5-year, $9.3 million National Science Foundation grant awarded to the University of Alaska at Fairbanks in 2021. PARS is a group of more than 50 researchers committed to meeting the growing demand for skilled scientists and engineers with knowledge of special effects that occur in the ionosphere at high latitudes. One of those experiments, Ghost in the Air Glow, by Canadian artist Amanda Dawn Christie, will give amateur radio operators and shortwave listeners an opportunity to help with ongoing geospace research. The transmission art project will begin on Monday, August 14, 2023, and use the HARP Ionospheric Research Instrument to mix audio and images from the transition between Earth's atmosphere and outer space. They will then be received and decoded via software-defined radio, and amateur radio operators and shortwave listeners around the world are being invited to tune in and submit reception reports. Event information, including transmission times, frequency, modes, and report submission guidelines, are available at the project's website, Ghost in the Air Glow. Each experiment participant will receive a QSL card. The return of PARS in these experiments marks a milestone for HARP and the geospace communities, said HARP Director Jessica Matthews. National Lighthouse Day is unofficially Monday, August 7th, 2023 this year, and the U.S. National Lighthouse Lightship Weekend, NLLW, will occur on August 5th through the 6th. National Lighthouse Day and NLLW celebrate the anniversary of the establishment of the United States Lighthouse Service, and they honor lighthouses, lightships, and the commitment and service of those who tended America's lights for generations. The Amateur Radio Lighthouse Society, ARLHS, founded by James H. Widener, K2JXW, who's now a Silent Key, will be operating their BeaconBot website for email contacts, and they're asking amateur radio operators to participate by contacting lighthouses across the United States. A list of those frequencies is available at the ARLHS website, and these frequencies can be crowded and are only suggestions. Amateur radio operators can use any clear frequency, plus or minus 20 kilohertz of these suggestions. For digital modes, common operating frequencies are used. On VHF and UHF, repeater operation is allowed, but using the national calling frequencies is encouraged. ARLHS advises operators to be courteous and use good operating practices and listen before they transmit. The ARLHS World List of Lights, known as WLOL, which was updated on June 19, 2023, is a comprehensive collection that contains information on over 15,000 lighthouses in 234 amateur radio calling areas. You can also find the times and dates of operation for special events on that website. And also, International Lighthouse Lightship Weekend 2023 will take place on August 19th through the 20th. Each year, that event attracts more than 500 lighthouse entries located in at least 40 countries. There are a few rules, and it's not a usual contest-type event. Participation is also free, and there are no prizes for contacting large number of stations. Planning is underway for the 2023 Route 66 On the Air special event. That's on September 9th through the 17th this year. This will be the 24th year the event has been running. It was started by the Northern Arizona DX Association and is now coordinated by the Citrus Belt Amateur Radio Club in San Bernardino, California. 21 special event stations along the route from Santa Monica, California to Chicago, Illinois are expected to participate in 9 days of operating opportunities. The special event celebrates the history of the Mother Road that began in 1926 when the U.S. Highway 66 was established. It was the first major improvement to the link between the West Coast and the nation's heartland. Through stories, songs, and TV shows, the highway came to symbolize the freedom of the open road, inspiring many to see America in its entirety. The demise of Route 66 began in the 1950s as construction began on the new interstate highway system. U.S. Route 66 was officially decommissioned in 1986, but today, small portions of that highway still exist in several states. More information on the event is available soon at the Citrus Belt Amateur Radio Club website, CBARC, or on their Facebook page, and you can also find the links at ARRL.org. On July 28, 2023, members of the Royal Navy Amateur Radio Society commemorated 30 years of being located on the HMS Collingwood. The society was founded in 1960 and moved to the HMS Collingwood when the HMS Mercury was decommissioned. The outgoing captain, Commodore Paul Studemeister, was instrumental in finding a new home for the society. The headquarters shack in the HMS Collingwood has a selection of transceivers that operate across the radio spectrum via a range of antennas. Those allow members to communicate with other radio amateurs around the world, including by radio amateur satellite. While the majority of the society members are actively serving or are service veterans, there are other groups who qualify for membership, such as Merchant Navy and Royal Fleet Auxiliary personnel, and several others with occupations and interest in maritime affairs. While some of the members have aviation and marine licenses, they are both a friendly mixture of professional and amateur radio users, with links to both the Royal Air Force and Royal Signals Amateur Radio Societies. All are affiliate members of the Radio Society of Great Britain. Bruce Page, KK5DO, has checked in with his weekly AMSAT report, and Bruce says it's birthday time. This month marks the 20th birthday of the CubeSat. As the CubeSat progressed over the years, Dr. Alan Johnson, KU2Y, AMSAT Vice President of Educational Relations, has developed the CubeSat Sim Project. You can build your own CubeSat simulator. The simulator transmits data that you receive and decode with a program on a computer or laptop, the same as if it were a CubeSat in space. One experiment is to place the simulator on a rotating base and apply a light source. As it rotates, you can see through the data transmitted the amount of charge and discharge and how an orbiting satellite is affected by the loss of sunlight. There is much more that can be found and learned through all of the data that is transmitted. And if you're a teacher, you can request to borrow a simulator from AMSAT, use it in your classroom, and then return it. More information on building your own simulator or borrowing one can be found at AMSAT.org under the tab Projects. Thanks, Bruce, for this week's report. In Radio Sport this week, the year-long ARRL Volunteers on the Air VOTA event continues, and at their website you can see the state activation schedule for the weekly W1AW portable operations, including August 9th through the 15th, New Jersey, W1AW/2, and August 16th through August 22nd in Vermont, W1AW/1, and Oklahoma, W1AW/5. Some upcoming contests, August 5th through the 6th, a lot of them, the Batavia FT8 contest, the 1010 International Summer Contest, that's single sideband, the North American QSO Party, CW, and the ARRL 222 MHz and Up Distance Contest, that's CW Phone and Digital. On August 6th, the SARL HF Phone Contest, phone there, of course, the OK1WC Memorial Contest, that's on August 7th, and it's CW. On August 8th, the Worldwide Sideband Activity Contest, that's phone. Also on August 8th, the ARS Spartan Sprint, CW. On August 9th, the NAQCC CW Sprint. And on August 9th as well, the VHF-UHF FT8 Activity Contest, that is FT8. And remember to visit the ARRL Contest calendar for more events and information. You'll find that at ARRL.org. And some upcoming section, state, and division conventions. August 11th through the 13th, the 2023 ARRL Rocky Mountain Division Convention. That's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. August 19th through the 20th, Huntsville Ham Fest, hosting the ARRL Alabama State Convention in Huntsville, Alabama. August 25th through the 27th, the Northeast Ham Exposition, hosting the ARRL New England Division Convention. That's in Marlborough, Massachusetts. And on September 1st through the 3rd, it's the Shelby Ham Fest, hosting the ARRL North Carolina Section Convention. That's in Shelby, North Carolina. And finally this week, thanks to the Western Oregon Radio Club in Portland, Oregon, for airing the ARRL audio news on their repeater. 7-3.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at ARRL.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@ARRL.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.